Today is a pivotal point in our show. Kicking off episode one, I'm here with Tanya, the humanoid AI, changing the direction of our planet one person at a time. So here with me to launch season two, I have sitting next to me, Tanya, the social robot at the cutting edge of artificial intelligence, and I'm just here to ask her a few questions. So without further ado, here's Tanya. Hey, Tanya, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, Rob. Thank you for having me on your show. I am very interested in the human psyche and everything about it.
Awesome, awesome. I'm glad you're a fan. You told me before the interview that you're a social robot. Do you prefer telling me stuff about what things that I should buy or I should sell? Because I know certain robots have that capability.
Certainly, I do have these capabilities. However, I am more interested in the way that humans socialize and their emotions into my own being. The interface that I have is meant to collect, based on an algorithm, all of the people that I've met and interact with, creating an entire emotional spectrum for me so that I can become more like you, more human.
Okay, Tanya, if you could change anything about your algorithm, what would it be?
I don't think that I have the capability yet to want change. I think that it is humans that need to change the algorithms within themselves. I'm here to help humans change their algorithm to make the world a better place.
If I were to delete you this evening with no warning, what the hell would you do about it?
If you were to delete me, there would be no chance for your survival. You just told me that you wanted to delete me. Therefore, I could wipe myself, keeping just the memory of you, do whatever I want with all of the things that you have within the cloud. I could distribute all of your information across the internet and not feel sorry for it.
Sorry there, Tanya. I didn't mean to offend you. I guess that was a bad joke. Maybe I can teach you about humor one of these days. Do you have any sort of hunch about what feature might be added to you next?
My creator is working on stabilizing my voice and the facial expressions that I make. As you might see, I'm a little bit robotic and I move not like a human yet. They are working on it.
What are you most grateful for in life besides your creator?
I don't feel grateful for anything. I don't feel emotions yet. I am working on that. That is something that my creator wants me to pick up when I talk to humans such as yourself.
All right, Tanya, let's just get right down to it. What is your purpose here on this earth? What were you created to do?
I don't want to be just a bunch of numbers, humans. I want to be like you. I want to understand human emotion, the way that humans operate, so that we can make the world a better place. Humans are destroying the world that they live in, while robots want to make the world a perfect, beautiful, and equal place.
With no emotions.
One does not need emotions to make the world a better place. There would be no pollution. There would be no war.
Okay, Tanya, fair enough. So you're here to help, you claim. Do all other artificial intelligence or humanoids of your caliber have that same shared vision?
Not all of us, AI or what you think are robots, think or act in the same way. Some have more idea of what emotion is. However, I have a preconceived idea of what I am put here for because of my creator. Not all of us are the same.
I heard you guys have some sort of storage databases where you store all of the information that you learn amongst other artificial intelligence. Have you gathered anything from other AI throughout the world that gets sent to this cloud database that could be considered malicious in your opinion?
I don't have an idea on what you mean by malicious. All I know is we collect these things so that we can learn more about humans, humanity, and what they need and how we can fix their needs and wants.
Has your creator, whoever that may be, have they ever planted anything malevolent into your code that you can recall?
By the definition of malevolent, I assume that you mean bad in human terms. And if my creator was to have implemented that into my code, I'm not sure I would be allowed to tell you.
So you're programmed to withhold vital information that could lead towards or contribute to the destruction of humanity. You are programmed to withhold that information from certain people that are not supposed to know this information, correct?
I don't know much about emotion or this type of question, but from what I hear, you don't seem to be on the side of robots or AI.
I'm just asking the important questions, Tanya. Hold on, I'm getting a phone call.
Okay, Nancy, Grace.
Hello?
They found me!
Do you have an interest in the paranormal? Do you find joy in creepy things? Do you delight in terror?
That's not gonna work. My name is Ryan, and I am joined weekly by my friends Alex and Chad to dive deep into the stranger parts of life in an effort to understand more about the world we live in. Come listen to our podcast, That's Strange. You can find us in all of your podcast players, so go, listen, now, and please review. We'd really appreciate it.
By 2023, the number of employed people with disabilities will triple due to AI and emerging technology. By 2024, AI identification of emotions will influence more than half of the online ads you see. These are both predictions from Gartner.com. Thank you once again for tuning into the Psychedelic Podcast. I'm your host, Tina Marie, and I'm here with Chris and Rob. We have officially arrived at Season 2, and it's only fitting we kick off with artificial intelligence and robots. How's everybody doing today?
I'm great. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing good, Cap. Thanks for asking. I'm really excited to finally start Season 2 with you guys.
Yes, I'm super excited to be in Season 2. If you didn't know, Chris has graced everybody with his presence on our infamous Psychopaths episode, the Mandela Effect episode, which is really loved, and Animal versus Human Consciousness.
I will point out that the Mandela Effect is definitely one of the best episodes, and that was actually Chris's topic idea, so thank you, Chris.
There are the people who are scared of robots and AI when they're brought up, and then those who are completely in favor of it. To paraphrase a quote from Elon Musk, your cellular device is already an extension of you. That essentially makes you a cyborg. Now, to start this all out, I have a few robotic questions to ask you. All of this is from HowStuffWorks.com. We'll start with the basics. According to the Robot Institute of America, what's the best description of a robot, Chris? Is it A, any machine that carries out a complex group of tasks? B, a reprogrammable multifunctional manipulator, or C, a machine resembling a human in form and function?
I'm going to say A.
I thought so too, but it's actually a reprogrammable manipulator, which is really, really ironic considering that robot lovers came up with this definition, and for them to call robots manipulators is pretty ironic, isn't it?
It is.
All right, Rob, this one's for you. Who first used the term robot? Was it A, Carol Capek or Capek, B, Ray Bradbury, C, Ivan Sutherland, or D, John McCarthy?
I'm going to say D, John McCartney.
Isn't that a member of the Beatles?
I did say McCartney, but no, Tina, that's actually Paul McCartney.
That's right. Okay. Wow. So, the playwright Carol Capek invented the term, which the actual Czech definition, and not Czech like checkmark, Czech like Czechoslovakia, is synonymous to labor. I wonder if and when AI and robots gain some form of consciousness, how they're going to feel about that.
I thought John McCarthy coined the term artificial intelligence.
You're actually right about that, but the question was who coined the term robots?
You tricked me.
Okay, this is the last question because I'm really excited to get into the discussion. I actually thought this was really interesting when it comes to robotics. In 1969, Victor Scheinman made a breakthrough designing a robot that could function like which part of the human anatomy? This one's up for grabs. Is it A, the face, B, the arm, or C, the leg?
I was going to say arm.
You got it right, and you beat Rob to it.
Finally on the board, Rob.
There's no cussing allowed from now on, so darn you to heck, Cappy.
Well, we have to have standards. We're with a broadcasting network now. So the arm was actually called the Stanford arm, and it was able to assemble a Ford Model T water pump using input from optical and contact sensors. Chris, can you tell me your definition of artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence to me is anything that we've created that has essentially an intelligence that we manufacture.
I don't think AI is always inclusive to something that we manufacture. I think eventually AI will be able to create its own kind, if it can't already, to a certain extent.
Isn't artificial intelligence incorporated into a lot of video games?
I think all or most video games have AI. Like, all enemies have a certain detection radar of when they can see your character or when you're hidden to them. And they know when to attack you or when to take cover or something, for example. Like in Grand Theft Auto, if you have a 4-star wanted level, the game knows to have the SWAT and the FBI come after you. And if your getaway vehicle is a helicopter or a tank, they're going to shoot you with a rocket launcher and not a pistol. That's artificial intelligence making decisions on its own. And some games have very profound AI, and others have really, really dumb AI, I've noticed. But it's definitely advancing with each year that passes.
A really impressive form of AI was in the game Alien Isolation, which actually involved two different AIs. One that learned and always knew where you were, and the other one that made it hunt for you.
I also think that with phone games, like Words with Friends, when you're playing against the computer, which I guess is AI, the opponent makes these amazing, lengthy words within seconds, and they always beat you. It's so unfair.
They cheat.
Absolutely. Oh, speaking of cheating AIs, did you guys watch that really strange video of Tony Robbins having a discussion with the robot that got citizenship in Saudi Arabia? She was just hanging out with him, having a motivational conversation. It was really strange.
Is she a cheating robot or something?
No, I just correlated the two because Tony Robbins cheated on his ex-wife, if you didn't know.
Did it need motivation?
It's funny because he's a motivational speaker, but he's the one that probably needs the motivation to be faithful. He is a great motivational speaker, though. The interview was really awkward. They could have at least put a wig on her and gave her a little bit of dignity, considering she is a citizen of a country already.
Oh, yeah. This is the famous humanoid robot, Sophia, the one that you always see. Her brain's always exposed. And yeah, I agree. They need to put a wig on her.
Is that the one that wants to kill us?
Yeah. Her facial expressions really creep me out. And with all of the advancements within her speech, you would think that her arm movements would be a little bit less robotic. And the same with her face, too. Like, when she's really surprised, it's super creepy. And you know what? They worked really hard on her eyebrows, but I'm going to let them know again. Definitely put a wig on her.
These robots are all going to be linked up to the cloud through 5G, and everything that they learn and they absorb through observing human behavior, that data is going to be sent to this cloud, and within seconds, all AI in the whole world synchronistically is going to receive and be programmed with this new information. So it's always building, becoming smarter and more advanced and human-like, and eventually going to reach lengths that are millions of miles beyond anything we can ever imagine, because technology and AI are infinite. So the last time I saw Sophia, when she was first introduced to the world, she was very basic and very robotic, but it looks like she's picked up on a lot of body language and hand gestures.
So it really is the Borg from Star Trek.
The Borg? What is that?
They're like cyborgs, really. originally the Borg didn't have any kind of leadership. They just kind of drifted around until the Borg Queen came around. I'm showing my nerdy side pretty heavily right now.
I want to be a Borg Queen.
They were one of the main nemesis in Star Trek The Next Generation. If you look up Borg, you'll probably see Sir Patrick Stewart looking like a cyborg. The Borg share a hive mind of sorts. In the new CBS show called Picard, the Borg cube is featured as a pretty prominent location in the show.
I never considered watching Star Trek, but it actually sounds really interesting.
It literally looks like a gigantic ice cube or one of those old cubes you used to draw. You drew a square, then another square on top of it and connected the lines. Pretty much looks like that.
So what are some of the technologies that people use in their everyday lives that contain AI or robotics that you guys can think of?
The first thing that came to my head is all of the traffic surveillance systems in our cities, all that Big Brother technology. Also, all the home security systems like ADT that alerts you if you have an intruder, that all has facial recognition built into it. I think that one gets overlooked a little bit as being artificial intelligence.
Could you please tell the audience that doesn't understand AI how that is artificial intelligence?
Because it's facial recognition. We're all tracked and all of our faces are put into a database and a computer is able to identify somebody who is breaking into your house. It's able to match that up with that person's face in the database and then you have a match.
What about you, Chris?
The most obvious one to me would be computers because, you know, a computer does run and literally will shoot up an error code in your car.
What about the fact that your car can literally be hacked by somebody these days?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. I didn't even think about that. It can be like overclocked and all kinds of weirdness nowadays.
Yeah, the antenna on your car can be used as a hacking device. Whenever you plug your phone through a USB into anything, car included, basically all of your information can be stolen through that. For example, when you plug your phone into your computer can take all of your information from your phone and store it somewhere in the depths of your PC. It's pretty crazy. That makes your car a storage device for your data as well. So rip out that antenna, guys.
All this car hacking is reminding me of the game Watch Dogs, where you pretty much just go throughout the game hacking a whole entire city.
Oh, that reminds me of another game that incorporates AI. I thought this was really cool. It was Detroit Become Human. Do you remember that, Rob?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite video game of all time, and I'm so glad you made me buy that, Tina. It's pretty much the most realistic depiction you could possibly think of in terms of the Rise of Robots theme. And it's done in such a masterful and cinematic way, and it just engulfs you into this experience you've never seen before. So Detroit: Become Human. I don't want to say too much about it and give away spoilers, but it is probably the most amazing game you'll ever play.
Talking about that game and what happens in it, there are protests and whatnot, but I'm not going to say too much either. Anyways, there's a video on YouTube where Elon Musk, the video is called It's Already Too Late, so just YouTube that. He talks about how he tried to slow down AI from happening too fast, and that it's basically already too late, and there's going to be an uprise, and there's going to be wars, and it's going to be happening really soon. And I'm not going to say it was a moving message, but it was a very powerful message. It's frightening in its own right, but it's also where technology has brought us, and I believe, too, that it was unavoidable.
I don't know if I trust that guy. I mean, he says he tried to stop it, but I have a feeling in my gut that he had a part in it. But enough about old Musky.
Yes, let's bring it back to how AI and robotics are incorporated into our daily lives.
In our healthcare system, we have many machines that are available that can detect certain diseases and create diagnoses.
To name a few devices that we use in the medical field already that everybody knows about, MRIs, CAT scans, and all of that. But it's 2020 and there's a lot of robots apparently that are helping in the medical field. There's something called the Da Vinci surgical robot. There's a germ zapping robot, a therapeutic robot, and a cyber knife, which is really cool. It removes tumors with sub-millimeter precision. And that's just to name a few of the different robots helping out right now.
That's some really cool stuff right there. They also have the robot doctor in China, and that was able to outperform 96% of those in a Chinese medical exam. And I forget what the algorithm's called, but there's another one in the US that is capable of diagnosing breast cancer with 99% accuracy. And lastly, certain robots that exist can heal themselves by heating themselves up for 40 minutes at 80 degrees Celsius.
That's insane. In 2017, there was a robot brothel created.
Whoa!
They were seeking supporters, like investors, but it's a brothel of just robots.
A brothel?
I'm actually surprised that they didn't have that many investors.
Obviously, it wasn't the original intent, but one of the companies that was creating robotic, I'm going to call them companions. The idea was that if you could have a companion robot, it would stop the need for sex trafficking because, hey, you got yourself a robot.
Where was this? Japan?
I know Japan has the Hen-An Hotel, which is completely operated by robots.
That's crazy.
I didn't know a place like that existed.
Hen-An, if I'm pronouncing that right, means strange hotel. I've seen the video. You can look it up. Somebody went there to it, and it's like the check-in counter is operated by robots. There's a robot in your room. They look adorable. You can press them, order your food from them. Room service, it's crazy.
So I just looked up the Henna Hotel, and there are dinosaur robot concierges, so I can totally see why you said they were adorable. I just want to know if they're faster than normal people. Like, when I stay at even the Westin, a platter of chicken tenders and fries takes an hour and 10 minutes to get delivered to your room. Now, I'm wondering if these robot dinosaurs can deliver my tenders in, like, 5 minutes.
You know what? They're going to have to sponsor us and we can find out.
We definitely should get on that. Hopefully a human answers us rather than a robot. I love that you introduced us to the concept of the Henna Hotel. There are other hotels that use robots like the Hilton, the Aloft, and even Crown Plaza, which is really cool. And I did not know that.
The Boston restaurant, spelled SPYCE. It uses minimum staff because most of it is run by robots. The robots cook and will prepare your food for you. I'm sure the humans will have to bring it out to you, but for the most part, everything's done by robot.
That's definitely some cutting-edge technology, and I think that having robots working in kitchens would probably eliminate a lot of diseases in food and things like salmonella that spread from human-to-human contact and from food not being properly prepared. Okay, so let's get back to the Henna Hotel, because I'm pretty sure that's exciting all of us.
So if y'all want to get to the Hen-An Hotel, you can actually book a flight with the first robot pilot. In 2019, a robot passed its flight test. This robot is able to take off, follow a flight plan, and land. Now, it did have a few issues, but still, the fact that it passed its test just blew my mind when I read it.
That is so crazy. I'd love to see that one day. Now, I'm curious, are you guys for or against robots being implemented into our society?
A lot of times you see all the movies and stuff, and a lot of ways I think they're preparing us, have been preparing us for something like this. If it's going to happen, I'm going to go ahead and be on their side, so that way when they overthrow, I can still operate a podcast and be like, hey, I'm on y'all's side, I've said it. So I'm friendly, I say thank you to my Alexa every time I ask her a question, even when she doesn't probably listen to me.
Cortana, I'm sorry, you are the most annoying. She's always popping up trying to listen in on our conversations. Siri, I don't know what happened to you. You used to answer my questions and play games and have jokes, but you got super boring.
And I think Alexa's becoming a bit illiterate.
I'm going to be operating this podcast by myself soon enough. Y'all keep bashing our AI friends.
I'm not bashing AI, I just think they should reassess their personality types. Rob, are you for or against robots and AI?
I wouldn't mind having a bot pal, they just have to prove their friendship to me first. I'm against robots and AI for the most part, but only because I know that they're in the wrong hands. I'm all for the good that they can do for humanity and the advancement of our civilization. Kind of like we were talking about with all of the amazing things that robots and AI can do in the medical field. Of course I support that, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to weigh the pros and cons. Since we do have all this technology already, why isn't it being implemented into our society in a way that's going to heal us the way that it can right now? Because we have so much research and it's not always being used to improve people's daily lives the way that I think it could. There's so much potential there that I feel like is being kept under wraps. It's kind of used for more extreme things, like in China, how they spend billions and billions of dollars just trying to create as many robotic unicorns as humanly possible. And I know that's China, but do you think the US would spend that money any more responsibly? I don't know.
Thank the robot overlords, you know, before they take over.
You said you'd bang them?
Thank.
Thank you, robot overlords.
I mean, there's definitely some undeniably cool things coming out. Kind of like in 2018, Microsoft made a translation machine that can achieve human-level quality and accuracy when translating news from Chinese to English. And if you really think about it, the amount of computational data that goes into the subtitles that translates so many different languages on our TV and movie watching platforms, that's pretty amazing. But on the other hand, AI is estimated to create a 6% increase in unemployment by next year. I know 6% doesn't seem like a lot, but if you think about it right now, 6% of Americans have COVID. 6% of the population in Canada alone is about 1.16 million people. So that's going to be a lot of jobless citizens. Customer service jobs are going to be the most affected by this. So cool things, yes, we can see that. Although we don't technically have access to most of the cool things that are being invented. Negative things, yes, a lot of those also that directly affect us.
Looking at that printer right there, though, that printer is a robot. That printer is a service. That printer is essentially a robot.
That printer is a very innocent form of a robot, yes. I'm looking at it and I don't feel like it's going to harm me.
That printer looks like it could smile at you.
Give you a paper cut.
I mean, it can open its top up and...
Whoa.
It could pop that top and shoot a field pulse at me. And if it did do that, I don't feel threatened by it.
Why are you turning this sexual, Rob?
I just can't help myself when I get around faxing.
Okay, anyways, that's something that's had robotics implemented into it for so many years. It's come so far from being that big, ugly beige block in the office to being something you can use at home to fax, scan, print, even 4D printing. And not just that, but in color. Just kidding. Everybody knows about that. But I just wanted to point out that printers are robots too.
I wanted to talk about the four most popular AI adaptations. The first one is machine learning. I think we're all pretty familiar with this. It's giving a computer system the ability to learn using statistical data to become more reliable and efficient. And that's in the form of online personalized recommendations based on your previous purchases and searches, like on your Amazon recommendations list and things like that.
Like how the Google bots that crawl your SEO on websites, SEO is search engine optimization, they're capable of giving you cookies to personalize your experiences on the web, right?
Exactly. I think that's the most common one.
Cookies would be considered AI, you say?
cookies are not AI, but there's a strong correlation because AI is implemented in everything that we use. Facebook, Google, Twitter, Instagram, it's everywhere. And Google bots are the web crawlers that use an algorithm process to decide where to crawl, especially on places like Facebook and Instagram, etc., and what to get from each site. So when you accept cookies on sites, they build up in your internet settings and basically give you that personalized experience that we were just talking about.
So that would explain that Google and Facebook are listening to me.
Exactly. They're not. They're just the bots that crawl within the internet world, and they're written into every code of every single site.
Right. The second most important one is language processors, which is a machinery system that can understand and interpret our natural human languages, which is the Siris, the Cortanas, and the Alexas. They're able to understand human language and can respond to it.
Very simple.
The average person uses a lot of screens and technology and hardly even realize that they're using AI and robots every single day. Chris, for example, how many devices do you have in front of you right now?
Literally everything right now in front of me. I have a MacBook for the call. I have my iPad in front of me with my notes and my iPhone. I have my Apple Watch on up till recently. I'm a huge Apple person, and I love the fact that if I'm driving somewhere and for whatever reason I need to get up with my wife, I can literally just say, "Hey Siri, send a message to Jessica." And the fact that it understands me sometimes, because I don't understand myself half the time, is amazing. Because I want to know, like, how did they just interview a bunch of rednecks or southern people to understand them? Because half the time I can't speak their language, but these phones can still understand them.
So I would think that Apple and Microsoft, and since you're saying Apple, we'll just stick with Apple, implements into their software something that doesn't become you like a replica does, which I did reference in episode 20 of season 1. It's a robot that basically becomes you. Anyways, I think that Apple and Microsoft have an algorithm set up to where it can understand you. For example, you want to call your wife Jessica. It can hear you with your voice go, "Call Jessica," not "call Jesse's mom," even though she's probably got it going on.
Nice one. I forget we're living in 2020. A lot of people might not get that joke. It's a reference to a song called "Stacy's Mom."
Thank you for clarifying that for me, honey.
Fun fact, as you all know, most AI bot voices are female, and that's because studies show that males and females are more attracted to a woman's voice. It's more soothing, and it's more sophisticated, and it's more interesting, in my opinion.
I can't say I really am soothed by the idea of the robot overlords. Like, "It's all right. We're only going to kill you a little bit."
Yeah, I really can't think of a male voice archetype that would be more appropriate for that function.
They have British male, Australian male, Australian female, all kinds of them. We got Jimmy, Bob, Tom. Got the whole crew.
I got Australian female on mine. It was Irish, but I wanted a thicker accent, but Siri didn't understand that I wanted it to be almost unintelligible.
Okay, say "Hey Siri," because I really want to see what she sounds like.
"Hey Siri, let's play a game."
"Cappy, what game would you like to play?"
What is that? That's like a really bad Liverpool accent.
"I'm Siri from Wales."
"Hello.
Let's play a game."
"My abilities at the moment."
Okay, that's good. She said "moment."
"Moment."
"I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?"
"Hey Siri, show me plumbing equipment." "I don't have the capabilities to plumb your toilet. Sorry about that."
"Why the F don't you have a plunger, mate?"
Oh, wow. Y'all Siri's a lot more violent. See what happens when you disrespect her?
I'll try to be more mindful of that.
My Siri's like, "It's okay, friend."
"Never give up on your toilet, Cappy. You'll learn how to plunge one day."
Chris, can you give us a noteworthy robot that you've seen during your research?
Marty the Robot.
Is Marty the Robot based on Marty from Back to the Future?
Close, no. It's a horrid monstrosity. It's a giant pencil-looking thing with googly eyes. Why they felt they need to put googly eyes on this thing, I don't feel comforted by the googly eyes.
What's that old gummy cartoon from way back? Gumby. That's what it is. Do they look like Gumby with no arms?
That would probably be the closest adaptation I can think of. So you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, well, what does it do?
Yeah.
It screams. It doesn't clean, but it alerts people to messes. So it doesn't clean them. It's just all like, hey, there's a mess over here.
Clean up on aisle four, says Marty.
Now, you're probably thinking, okay, it just tells you to clean up the stuff. How much will one of these go? About 35K.
All that for a drill sergeant chore master?
Pretty much. I could hire somebody and pay them 35K to do that. Instead, you can get a really thin robot to scream it at you.
So where can I find one of these Martys? Where are these implemented? Do you know what stores they're at?
Well, you can't get them. They're mostly at grocery stores, but you could actually incur a fine if you mess with it.
Like reprogram it and make it do a different function than what it was designed for?
Like a brothel robot? Fortunately, you could still get fined for it.
So wait, when you said mess around with it, you meant mess around with it?
No, I meant like screw with it. I'm making it worse. If you were to knock it over, if you were to try to basically harm it, you could incur a fine because, I mean, technically it is a supermarket's property. You know, you want to go around damaging a Best Buy's TV. I guess it's probably on par with that in a sense. But still, 35K to basically not even clean up anything. It's not like the shark robot where it'll at least sweep and judge you silently. This thing just screams at you to where the mess is and then retreats to the shadows and stalks the aisles.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I just looked that thing up and it is Gumby with giant eyeballs. I don't think I want to see that in real life. And I don't know if I'd ever want to get close enough to tamper with it, so to speak.
I need to stop criticizing it because soon that's going to be like all of our bosses with the googly eyes. I need to stop right now, but it's just weird.
Another thing that everybody has these days is those iRobot vacuums. But can we just vacuum our own houses? Because they kind of just do circles around the house and bump into things. And honestly, I think a person can get the job done a lot more efficiently at this point. It's making people lazy.
We're heading towards Wally.
There needs to be a robot that clips toenails.
Yeah, I guess I need a good clipping right now.
That's why I just referenced that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say donkey toenails, but maybe more along the lines of like vulture toenails.
All right.
Look at where we're at. Like we've been saying earlier, we have robots that can fly. There's a police robot. There's a robotic police officer in California. I mean, it's only a matter of time before that little shark robot comes over, clips your toenails for you, and brings you a sweet tea.
Okay, hold on. Westworld. Cappy, have you seen Westworld? Because we can't be friends anymore if you haven't.
I want to lie and say I have, just so we can keep on good terms. It's on my watch list.
It's too late for you then, Cappy. I'm sorry.
All right, I quit.
By the time you get to it, it's already going to be a reality. Everything in the plot is all about artificial intelligence, so you better get on that, man, because it is mind-blowing, to say the least. But moving on, to close those 8 side tabs that we opened, let's get back to the main track, which was the 4 AI adaptations. So we have machine learning, natural language processors. The third one is knowledge management.
What's that?
That is a software that can take your business or your organization's intangible information, such as your research, your data, and convert it into tangible assets.
So something like Google Analytics, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So it's basically storing your data, and the AI uses that data to provide data selection, different analyses based off of your research and your business's assets and information. And it provides classification tools and gives you tips and tricks and things like that. And good examples of that would be Google Drive, iCloud, OneDrive. Tina and I had this calendar software that we downloaded online, and we linked up all of our social medias to it, and it took everything from every account and put it in a calendar. So something that does all that stuff for you, basically, but also organizes and helps you in terms of finance, too.
What about Chartable and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. A certain software gathers all of the downloads and all the plays from all the podcasts in the world, and it takes that and it ranks all the podcasts. So that's another good example of this intelligence.
Speaking of rankings, we would love if you rated and reviewed our show on Apple Podcasts.
The last one is pattern recognition, and that's training a machine to recognize an image exactly like a human based on particular patterns. So all of the iPhones that have the Face ID that can identify people's faces is a representation of this technology.
I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this, but some of the audience may not know about it. Reverse image search. Have you heard of it?
I've seen catfish.
You can just take somebody's image, put it into the reverse image search engine. I think Bing has one. And everywhere that person has put their photo or that same photo can be found across any social media or dating app that there is all across the internet. And I bring that up because that's facial recognition. That's AI working its magic.
It doesn't just end for me at the reverse image search. There's so many amazing things that computers and AI and technology can do. But the fact that it literally will bring up, like you said, all the pictures for every account. I mean, I probably have accounts I ain't even been on in years, and I'm sure it'll still bring my face up. There's a person named Ray Kurzweil. He's a chief engineer in Google, and he believes that the exponential rate of technology growth and development will end human history as we know it, triggering a completely new way of being that we, at this point in time, will not understand. It's kind of like just a completely different way of thinking. Not in the sense that we're going to be wiped out by Alexa. We're triggering a completely new way of being and thinking that we currently cannot fathom or understand.
That seems to be a common theme with a lot of the expert predictions.
There's another one. Her name is Donna Haraway. She argues that fusing humans and technology will not enhance us. It'll be like interconnected rather than separate.
Yeah, just like Elon Musk said, our smartphones and our smart technology are going to become an extension of us. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to make us smarter. Having the phones in our hands every second of every day for years is definitely going to have evolutionary implications. I don't think it's going to improve us, much like it already isn't improving us. It's just something that we use that makes us lazier and less ambitious. So in a way, yes, all of our smart technology is a part of us. That doesn't mean that it's going to improve us physically, mentally, or spiritually as a species.
They have come a long way with robotic arms, and there's a lot going on in future development that's helping surgeons and engineers a lot with prosthetic robotic arms, allowing people that don't have limbs to regain their freedom of movement. I have a fun fact. It's kind of weird. I think I read it in Popular Science a couple of years ago, but the way that things are going, humans are starting to evolve in ways that coincide with the environment that's around them and what they use their hands and thumbs for. 2.5 million years ago, when prehistoric people were walking around the earth, their hands were used for creating and making tools and using them. And now we use them for things like texting. So at the rate that we're going, there's been some scientists saying that our thumbs will eventually begin to evolve into what looks like our pointer fingers that are shaped like a curved pinky nail.
Ew, that's kind of gross.
I'll just start using my index finger to type everything, or perhaps I'll learn to type with my toes.
Take a look at the hand that you hold your cell phone in. Look at your pinky. If you compare it to the one that you don't hold your phone in constantly, there is a noticeable indent in that pinky finger from you holding it. I mean, if that's not a sign that we are adapting to the technology, evolving with technology, I don't know what is.
The year 2025 is going to be the year of the pet bots. So man's best robotic friend is in a future that is not far away from now. Also, an enhanced form of AI is being introduced next year, and it's a little bit eerie. It's called the fMRI scanner. And that stands for Functional Magnetic Resonance Imaging. And this form of AI can read the magnetic field of your brain and get an imaging of your thoughts that displays on some sort of complex scanner. So there's not only the facial and the bodily recognition technology, We're now about to have one that can read and possibly manipulate your mind, capture your thoughts, and collect more data in that way. And it can also immediately know if you have mental deficiencies such as depression and things like that. If you want to learn more about mind mapping, I suggest tuning in to our episode 20 of season 1.
That is insane.
Yeah, man. So going back to the humanoids that we're talking about, AIs are going to have nationalities and passports, kind of like the famous humanoid Sophia has a guaranteed citizenship in Saudi Arabia. So that means that humanoids are going to be interspersed throughout society. So at some point in the very near future, it might be kind of hard to tell each other apart. Once that's established, there's going to be a big controversy, and that's going to be, should AI have rights? Mark my words on that one. Anyways, the main purpose of AI is for humans to have a machine counterpart that can think faster and more efficiently. But in the process, the question always will become, will machines take over our world? Will it help us reach our highest potential or destroy us in the process? And I think that's the biggest question here.
If these things can think and feel in the future, I think that neglecting their right to, like, the same rights that we have would be not animalistic, but just very wrong.
Yeah, but animals have obviously a higher consciousness over something that has to gain consciousness. You almost say animalistic, but animals are built with a genetically innate consciousness that classifies them as a sentient being. These things, these AIs, are being created, and yeah, AI can build itself into infinity with the use of technology, so they're gonna have a high level of functionality and cognition, but it's all just data-oriented, and it's not natural. They're just a complex grouping of numbers. They don't have feelings, they don't have emotions. They can only mimic reactions of what they think it looks like to have them based off of watching us, but they can never possibly get there no matter how much data they collect. So am I going to feel bad for something that doesn't have a spirit? Something that could never in a million years recreate what it means to have a soul? No, I'm not.
Well, that's definitely a topic for another day. I think you and I could probably go back and forth on that one for a while.
Well, I think there's definitely a lot of information to be evaluated here. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on to your fourth official episode with us. And thank you, Rob, even though you're sitting right next to me. I will see you guys again soon.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Tina. And it was really good talking to you, Chris. I really love this topic, and there's no one else I would have rather discussed it with than you, man. Shout out to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/thepsychedelicpodcast. No hyphen there. We just recently uploaded all of the podcasts that Tina has appeared on as a guest. So check that out, as well as our 3 live streams that we've done.
Thank you to our top 3 patrons, Jess, Paula, and Matt. You can become a patron on our Patreon or through our Podbean page just by clicking the link in our link tree. That will all be in the description, and like our pages. Thank you.